It's time for Notre Dame's Best Hockey Show. From the WVFI studios in the second floor of the Duncan Student Center, it's 5 for Fighting Irish. Now, here's your hosts, Andrew McGinnis, Ryan Murphy, and Tyler Reedy.
Let's drop
the puck.
That's my bad. I turned you
on. Did not realize my mic was on there.
Tough.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem, buddy.
You know, sometimes we have those kind of days.
I wanted to do the fade out there. As Philly's radio announcer Scott Fransky likes to say, we are right on time at 6:09 p.m. Murph is a little slow getting over here.
Yep. No,
And then we were also slow setting up. And then we had technical difficulties. We almost didn't have an intro song today, but I do want to start the show with a different song.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ryan.
The harmonizing.
Happy birthday to you.
I think as our
You're
next
so
act,
old.
As our next act, we should
he
start
can
a choir.
Drink.
I can, and I can say
yes.
that live
well,
on
you could,
air.
You could have done that a while. You could have done that a while ago in Canada.
Murph, you're so beer.
You're so beer.
Oh man, Ryan Murphy has reached his Guy Carboneau year.
I have. It's finally 21. Big milestone. I feel so different. What is this?
Cookies.
Where'd you get this?
Birthday cookies. ABP.
Oh, thank you. How did you know? I'm a sucker for cookies and pastries. And
did you know that you share a birthday with Nick Castellanos?
I did not. There's a deep drive to left field. Let's go.
It's a deep drive to left field, and Jason Kelce is no longer a Philadelphia.
Anything but Zach Wheeler ain't leaving, baby.
Anything to have a personal connection with that meme, I'm extremely proud of that. Thank you.
Yes, it was a busy day in the Philly sports world, as well as JJ alluded to. Early start, too. I literally woke up 9:30, and both those tweets were like back-to-back. Busy time in the hockey world as well, too. College regular season is over. NHL trade deadline is coming up in just a few days. We've had some moves made in the last couple of days. Big extension, a coach firing. But I want to start at a place that's familiar to us, and that is going back to Notre Dame hockey, because we might not have that much time to talk about them left on this show this season.
You said it.
Yes, the Big Ten tournament is starting this weekend. Notre Dame is in action for postseason play on Friday night against Michigan at Yost Ice Arena. They definitely will play Saturday as the best of three in the first round. Go back to last week's show, which you can't do because we don't have a podcast set up, but maybe I'll get on that over spring break if you want to hear our various thoughts on the structure of the Big Ten tournament. But that is what it is, as Jacob Irons shakes his head. He's jumping in. Pathetic.
That is what I view it. And I sent you guys a text this week about the WCC men's basketball tournament. You talk about a gauntlet? That's a gauntlet. They're the 9-8 seed have to go through 5 games to ultimately win the championship.
It's a masterpiece.
But St. Mary's has a quad bye. Like, how is this possible?
Smix up.
I was waiting for that joke.
Oh, God.
You're talking about a sport with less variability than hockey, too. So.
Yeah. Come on, people. Let's reward. Let's make these tournaments make sense. That's my piece.
No, but wasn't your argument last week the opposite of that? Your argument last week was that, right?
Good team should be rewarded.
No, his argument last week was that good team should be rewarded.
And now you're arguing against that. They reward good teams.
But I think you're rewarding a good team too much. If you're giving them a quad bye, like, that's just ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Can't have it both ways.
I'm so lost right now.
Don't worry. So is everybody of so the you, four you're, people you're, listening to the show. Maybe I can't read it.
Your
from
bone,
far
the
away.
Bone you're picking is with the bye, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my bye. Okay. That's my complaint.
I got you.
Obligatory. I have to take a video here for the Smack Instagram takeover before I forget. Here.
Oh, it should have been the birthday song.
Let's do it again. 3, 2,
happy birthday.
File.
But yeah, the Big Ten tournament is starting this weekend. Michigan State has the one bye in this year's tournament. They got the one seed by taking care of business against Wisconsin, as we predicted last week. Look at us, so smart.
We did. I was lukewarm, I think. I was like, yeah, but that was about right.
Yeah, yeah. So Wisconsin is the two seed. They've got Ohio State. Minnesota is hosting Penn State. And Michigan Notre Dame is the 4-5 matchup. I kind of just want to get your guys' general thoughts on the tournament. Who do we think is going to win? Who do we think is a potential underdog candidate? Best first round series? Just whatever you want to talk about. Jago Irons actually wants to go first for a change.
This is a hot take.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
Ohio State cooking?
I think Ohio State right now.
Oh, Jake.
Buddy. What?
They're like the Notre Dame men's basketball of college hockey.
You want to hey, they played another unranked
Nobody
Big Ten team last weekend. You know how many of the two games they won? Zero. They went 0-2 against Penn State. They're not hot.
They're lukewarm.
Yeah,
they're relatively hot if you compare it to whatever the freezing Arctic of the first half of their season was.
Sure.
Give me one win out of their best of three. I think they'll put up a fight. They'll make this series go three.
Tyler.
I guess they do kind of have Wisconsin's number.
Thank you.
I do show prep.
That's more than I did, honestly. Is that fair?
But when they had Wisconsin's number, that was in Columbus. This is in Madison. I don't know.
And you do know Madison.
I do.
You do know
Madison.
I've already seen one team that couldn't win there. I don't know.
A team that matched up well with them, we might add.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
But yeah, anything that stands out to you guys with the Big Ten tournament?
I was a little surprised when I saw the TV assignments come out and the Notre Dame Michigan series was not the series that they picked to throw on FS2.
Which one is?
Minnesota Penn State. You know, Penn State is at, again, the redo of the series from a few weeks ago where Penn State scored a grand total of zero goals. Not one, not zero.
What could possibly go wrong?
So, it's my opinion that the Notre Dame Michigan series are probably the most attractive from a viewer standpoint.
Notre Dame was the series last year, though, right?
Yes, that's also true.
So maybe that's why. I would vary it up a little bit. I don't know.
I'm looking at how much Big Ten Plus cost right now. $60? There's no discount for being the end of the year?
No.
I think I still have a...
Guess
what? Baseball and softball coming to the Big Ten Plus.
No, but I can choose one sport. Like, I can choose to only sign up for hockey, but it's still $60.
Still a lot of money.
Tough. Maybe we should, Five for Fighting Irish should put in for a group one.
Well, I think I still have a JJ Sibling Big Ten Plus account from over a year ago.
I'm sure Tyler and Ryan have that account.
Wow. I bought my own. Although I would like to get on that
cool feature of Big Ten Plus while we completely crap on it. Did you know that if you are on a Big Ten campus, it's free entirely, like everything on it?
Oh, wow.
You don't need to be a student, but if you live on the campus for whatever reason, not being a student, the Big Ten Plus is entirely free.
Hold on. We're on a Big Ten hockey campus, and I pay for Big
Evidently,
Ten Plus hockey.
It does not apply to affiliate.
I don't
Ryan,
think that counts.
Ryan, knowing the history of Notre Dame and the Big Ten, do you think they are going to be especially delighted to be giving us concessions on prices?
No, but I still want to complain about it.
It also wouldn't matter to me anyway, since I'm not going to be anywhere near a Big Ten campus over spring break.
That's very true. Very true.
Rutgers?
No, I'm not going home. I'm going to Florida.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would be.
Where in Florida? I will also be in known Big Ten country, Florida.
Jupiter.
Me too. I'm in Orlando.
The next round of Big Ten expansion, the Planets.
Shout out to the Marlins for hosting the Phillies for a game. So instead of having to drive 3 hours to see them play in spring training like I did last year, I can drive 10 minutes.
That's nice.
Yeah, that'll be very much appreciated. Maybe I'll see a Panthers
Jimmy
game,
Collins
so.
Will like appreciate
an,
this.
The Panthers are less than an hour away from... Where my parents' condo is. We just missed the Flyers. I think we play Florida Thursday.
Damn.
We just missed out on Philly. We got them 2 years ago, though, in Florida, so I can't complain. I'm happy it even worked out once. It's pretty crazy. Can we only go there once or twice a season? Obviously, the rest of the conferences as well, starting up their postseason play as well, too. Any other things that stand out to you guys from any of those conference tournaments, a team that could potentially be an underdog? I know we've talked a lot about the pairwise and how things could work out if some of those teams pull upsets. Are there any storylines you're looking at outside of the Big Ten?
I think the big winner from last weekend for me, I mean, I guess this isn't really an underdog, but a team that I wouldn't say is favored to win that I think very much could win is Denver. I mean, they went into St. Cloud last weekend and gave the Huskies a can of whooping. Yeah, I mean, North Dakota you'd think is the favorite out of the NCHC there, but yeah, Denver, I've been back and forth on all season, but when you end a season with a statement series like that, that's impressive. Quinnipiac, I know it was against St. Lawrence, but they took care of business pretty handily, yeah, too. They entered the tournament with some real momentum as well on their side. So those are the two teams that kind of caught my eye last weekend. As far as underdogs go, though, you can still see Western Michigan doing something in the NCHC. They've been, I think, forgotten about for pretty much most of the season. They really haven't stolen any attention for several months now. They've just been kind of there. Same with a team like UMass. Maybe Maine bounces back after a couple little bumpier weekends.
Yeah.
Jake Irons does not agree.
You don't think so? You don't believe in the Black Bears?
We watch the Black Bears as a collective group. I'm just saying, I have not seen what I've needed to see out of them over these last two weekends.
Okay.
Tough,
okay,
right?
No.
But also, hold on. Western Michigan, we want to talk about a barn. Now, that is quite a crazy barn. Like, that is literally a barn.
Lawson.
And the NCHC tournament is home sites, I think, all the way through now, or is it until
I think I think it's, yeah, I think it's still,
yeah,
St. Paul, Minneapolis.
Just looking at Notre Dame's road here, you know, they have to play Michigan, and then if you were to beat Michigan somehow, you'd have to play Michigan State. Like, those two teams, just look at those two teams. Notre Dame has one regulation win. Against those two teams.
Two.
So
two.
You're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. Two and six, though. That's nothing to smile about.
not great. And Michigan really needs, they're on the bubble. You know, even at 13, they're on a bubble. So they need those wins this weekend for, you know, national tournament implications. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in the CCHA. I think right now the way the pairwise is lined up, the winner of that conference tournament, if RIT wins, if RIT wins the, or even if RIT doesn't, if RIT, Holy Cross, or AIC win, any of those three teams win the Atlantic tournament, then the CCHA team that gets into the tournament will be the 16th seed. Right. And it's kind of unusual that the, you know, the Atlantic team is not the 16th seed. Right. We're used to seeing that. And I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to see. I think that's I don't want to say a more difficult matchup than your one seed would expect. But the CCHA is not really a league that you expect to have as bad of a year as they've had this year. So I'm interested to see who comes out of that conference. Obviously, Bemidji State comes in as the number one seed. St. Thomas, the number two seed. St. Thomas is ineligible, I think, to make the NCAA tournament, maybe? So they're either ineligible to make the NCAA tournament or ineligible to win the CCHA. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm kind of curious what comes out there.
Western Michigan ended up the sixth seed in the NCHC. Can you believe that?
Yeah, the NCHC quietly... We talked a lot about how good the Big Ten last year was, right?
Yeah.
The NCHC, and we've talked a lot about how good Hockey East is this year. The NCHC is quietly back. Like,
oh, yeah.
Way back. They are about deep down to Miami, like, right? Yeah. Miami's the only team in that conference
that got 7 points.
It is not, I mean, I know Minnesota Duluth maybe not what they've been in the past, but, man...
Oh my gosh, Western Michigan's goal differential is so good. They're plus 36. That's crazy that they're only the sixth seed.
Helped along by Colorado College. I mean, Colorado College has had a real, like, they've been trying to get things going there for a while now, and Chris Mayotte's done a really nice job. I thought that maybe last year with Caden Imbarico was going to be their breakthrough year, and they've really broken through this year. They got the four seed. Obviously, that and win.
Well, St. Cloud State, who's three, only is plus nine. Omaha's even.
Hey, I'll tell you what, though. In the, this is the 11th season of NCHC hockey. Omaha has never gotten out of the first round.
Wow.
Omaha's never gotten out of the first round. I think this could this could be the year with a Colorado college team that is new on the scene.
JJ and I are on the same page here, I think.
Yep. There you go.
With a certain green team.
A certain on-campus team.
I think this is the year they do it.
Michigan State last year, Murph.
This year is not in our favor with that team.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That Colorado College win last year in the NCHC tournament over Denver, I think, was huge, right? Like, obviously, they didn't get it done, right? But that was kind of their, like, hello, we're here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of continuing to this year. And, yeah, I mean, they're going to be – I think that series is going to be if those two end up lining up against each other, which it looks like they will, like, yeah, that'll be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be really fun.
Awesome.
Especially for you, it's an Omaha guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true.
Big Ten tournament starts this weekend. Semifinals, single elimination on March 16th, and then the finals March 23rd. All games hosted by the higher seed who is playing in them. If it's okay with you guys, I just want to kind of move on at this point. If there's any other college stuff that's particularly pertinent, we can talk about it. But I want to spend some time with the NHL on this show because this is going to be our last show until 2 weeks after the trade deadline, unless we decide to like Zoom or something next week. I don't know. Maybe see about that, but we'll worry about that later.
I am out of here at noon.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking we used to be the Friday show. So I was basing my schedule on that, and the trade deadline's also on a Friday.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting it's Monday now, so it won't be quite as late after, which is nice. But I say we move ahead to Puckdoku if everyone is ready.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. I almost got spoiled today. I did very briefly look up the grid and then I remembered to look away at the last
minute. A very
minute.
Original six grid today.
Yeah, so we've got all original six on the vertical side, Rangers, Blackhawks, and Maple Leafs. And then on the horizontal side, we have Jets, Blues, and 80-plus points in a season with that team. So it's 80-plus with Toronto, New York, and Chicago. So there got to be some guys you can pull who have gotten there. All right, let's think here. I've got a good one that could work for actually all three of the left categories.
The Jets categories?
Yeah, all the Jets categories. I've got a guy, Eddie Olchek.
Played on all four of those teams.
Yep, and I'm just debating about which one I want to use him for.
I'd use him on Jets Leafs.
I'm thinking about, well, usually the Leafs I can get some good, like, rarity players. I'm trying to think briefly here. But the Jets are a bit of a weird blind spot in my knowledge here. I've also got one that would work for both both Rangers Blues and Rangers Jets. That's Kevin Hayes. He's going to be taking on his other former team in the Flyers tonight.
I'm going to go Hayes for Rangers Jets. I'm going to use that one.
That's probably going to score. It's definitely going to score better than Rangers Blues because he was only very briefly a Jet. I'm trying to think of any.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm trying to think if they got any
6%.
That's pretty good. I'm trying to think if they got any players back for Hayes, but it might have just been picks. I'm thinking I had another one for Rangers Blues, or not Rangers Blues, Rangers Jets, which is Andre Pavlik.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Pavlik,
yeah. He had a few good years.
Yeah, he was a huge part of the Jets making the 2015 playoffs.
Right.
The first playoff run of Jets 2.0.
That was pre Hellebuck.
Blues, Blackhawks, there's definitely some guys for this one. I mean, the obvious one's Nick Leddy. Just came to mind right away. Oh, I've got a great one. I always use this guy for Maple Leafs Blues, and he's the first person I'm going to put on the board. At 0.9%, Nikita Soshnikov.
What?
Wow. That's purely based off my Steve Dangle knowledge.
It says 2015 and 2023, he's still...
He must have like came back or something. I think he went to the KHL for a while and came back. Also, congratulations to Steve Dangle on he and his wife had their second child.
Oh,
days
nice.
Ago.
Congrats, Steve.
Ilsa.
Friend of the show, Steve Dangle.
Yes,
can we say that? Friend of the show?
Friend of the show who doesn't know the show exists.
No. He would be a friend of the show if he knew.
He would be. Yeah. I'd say we should try to get him on, but I think he's a little busy right now.
Probably with the kid.
Yep. That'll do it. I'm trying to like debate here. I'm always so scared because like, especially when I get the first one well, it's like I really want to do good. And like I know there's a chance if I got that first point nine. Although 80 points is going to be tough to get like actually good rarity scores.
Hey Jake, we need to get this show brought to you by Puckdoku.
Yeah, yeah, work on that ads manager.
Ads, wow,
can
okay.
Can we get a...
sponsor deal?
Sponsorship?
Well, yeah, your yeah. sponsorship can be brought to you by NDTV, number one's campus television.
No, we need Pukdoku. Be the Christina Sayet of our
campus
show.
Radio is brought to you by... Campus television.
Synergy, baby.
Campus newspaper.
Yeah, hey.
We now go to the Observer Run radio show sponsored by the television station right next to the magazine office.
And Campus Magazine.
Brought to you by the Juggler.
Brought to you by the Irish Rover.
I'll work on that joke.
That was a good joke, and then you took it too far.
am I allowed to make that joke?
As your legal analyst, we'll disregard.
Are we going to get sued? I mean, we do know they have experience with lawsuits.
In the words of Jeff Goodman, I hear you're being sued.
I think it got dropped.
Of all the topics of conversation I was expecting on today's show, like I was expecting something about the Phillies because didn't someone retire? Who retired?
Oh, Jason Kelsey, the Eagles' longtime center, retired. But
known Philly
Zach
Jason
Wheeler,
whose jersey I'm wearing, and that's... trying to talk while turning my back to them so they can see it.
Yeah, I signed an extension today. Largest average annual value for an extension in Major League history.
Yeah, see, I was expecting to talk about that.
Wow.
I mean, we can.
But I mean, I just expected it to come up, but not the Irish Rover.
Oh, I got another one for Maple Leafs Jets. That's Andrew Kopp. Or, sorry, not Maple Leafs Jets, Rangers Jets. But he would not score very well, I'd imagine. I'd rather go with Pavlik and Hayes. Oh, no. Tyler.
A bit of due to Tyler.
He's abandoning
Reedy.
Us.
Where are you walking to? Are you here? Okay.
He's got a group project.
You can phone in.
On the walk.
Hey, I could do it. I could do it. But yeah, call.
Give us a call.
I know the number. Come here.
What is the number? I want to read it out.
So why is he leaving
if
he still is able to call into the show?
Well, he has to go to a group project, but he can talk while he's walking over there.
Give us a call at 574-631-PUKDOKU. 6400.
No, what JJ said.
Again, that's 574-631.
Tyler, if you don't introduce yourself as Tyler from Insert City here,
Gerard Reedy is on the
say
phone.
You're a first time, long time.
For the record, Pavel got 4%.
And is this the Tyler from Spartanburg we've heard so much about?
I don't know how to. It says he's on air. I have to hit a button, don't I? Hold on. Which one of these says phone? Producer. Phone is on. I still can't hear him because I don't really know how to work this.
Are you with us?
He's not. Have him call me. Hold on. I will text Tyler. Hey, this is a great show. This is the content you people don't pay to listen to because no one would.
Okay, I'll call him.
Awesome. All right, I'm actually going to start making some guesses now.
Looks like we're getting a call. Okay. I did not expect that.
Abort.
The phones.
Never mind. I spoiled the
there
surprise.
There was definitely some depth forward who played for the Hawks and the Jets, and it's annoying me. I can't
yeah,
think of it.
I feel like I can
obviously,
see him.
Obviously, Dustin Byfuglien works. Oh, mother. I don't think Dale Weiss was ever a Jet. No.
No.
No, I could have put Derek Dorsett. No, he was also a Canuck. I'm mixing up my Canadian teams. I don't think he was a Jet. This is going so terribly. Blackhawks Blues. There's gonna be someone other than Nick Leddy.
I put Nick Leddy and he got 7%.
I'm surprised it's not higher. Current Blue.
I'm going just for a completion here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
gonna I usually do.
Blues Rangers, I'm going Nico Mikkola. 2%. It's gotta be better than Hayes would have gotten. Sadly, Kevin Hayes never played a game for the Blackhawks, so I can't put him. It's just a first round pick. Didn't sign. Jets, Maple Leafs. Oh my gosh, they're so someone.
Mm.
I can also do. No, that guy Nick Antropov who played for the Thrashers.
Oh right,
17%.
Ow, you just tanked your score.
Brutal. Give me Olchek for Jets, Hawks. What? He wasn't.
He wasn't a Jet.
Oh, it was the old Jets.
That should count.
That's absolutely insane. So he was a Coyote. Ugh. Now I'm putting Nick Leddy.
I put Nick Leddy.
I'm not even.
Are you doing the Pukdoku?
Well, yeah, I'm done. I only got 4.
Dustin Byfuglien got a 49%, by the way.
But I got Nick Leddy because he used to be on the Wings.
I'm gonna go with just. I'm just filling this out. Let's go with Doug Gilmore.
I always just go for completion. What's crazy to me is that Austin Matthews for Maple Leafs with 80-plus points got 18%.
I put Mitch Marner.
Okay, what did
I finished 13.
13. Okay.
I finished with Doug Gilmore at 7 and Andy Bathgate at 1.
Yeah, I was going to say, I definitely could have gotten a, like, you could have gone for, like, a Tim Horton.
I don't know if
he
would have gotten
there. He was a defenseman, though. Yeah. Or a,
I will float this out there. So, Puck Tickle actually has another alternate game.
Okay.
That's available today if we want to play it. It's
who
called
he trade for?
Who We Trade For. So how this game works is it gives you a player and you have to name all the players or and draft picks that the player was traded for. We can like briefly do it if we want to.
That sounds impossible.
What? Oh, that's Jake.
I believe we have someone calling in.
Maybe. Hold on. First, Jerome Ginla. Oh, I know this one.
I know Jerome Ginla's.
So it's every single time the player was traded. So Joe Nieuwendyk is the first one, the big one for one trade early in his career. When he was a Dallas Stars draft pick.
He was a Stars draft pick?
Yeah, he was traded one for one for Joe Nieuwendyk.
Wow, I did not
remember. Or I think there might have been like a late round pick also included, which is important for this. I do know that the Kings got him at the end of his career for a fourth. So I'm going to put that down.
And did he sign with the Bruins as a free agent?
I believe he did, but he got traded to the Penguins. I feel like that return definitely involved a first. And I'm going to put that in. It is correct. Now, I don't think I want to risk any other players or picks in this trade. I think I'm going to stop because you can like do guess as many people and picks as you want, but there are penalties for getting them wrong. So it's a risk reward type of situation. I personally am going to stop at a first, a fourth, and Joe Nieuwendyk. That's all I feel confident in.
What would be your other guess?
Well, I have no idea. I know he got traded from the Flames to the Penguins, and it involved a first round pick and like one or two other assets. But I have no idea what those assets actually are. So I'm going to go to the next player. Once you go to a player, you can't go back to. So I'm going to go to the next player. And it's Marian Hossa. A first-round pick I'm going to put down again. That's correct.
First and fifth.
You put a fifth?
And a fifth, yeah, because he was traded to the Wings, right? Yeah. That was crazy when he was traded to the Wings.
See, I would not have said a fifth, so I'm not going to include that for myself.
Oh, I'm fine copying Jimmy's work.
Oh. So he got traded from the Thrashers to the Sens, that big move. Oh, he got traded for Danny Heatley. I believe. Yes, Danny Heatley is correct. There may have been like...
There's not a tornado siren going off for those of you who are wondering what the noise is.
It's not the throwback to first week of freshman year for us seniors. Remember that, JJ? Or no, you weren't here. We had a tornado warning.
Yeah, I was not here for that.
It's us trying to distract Tyler from his work.
Absolutely. We're just being good friends.
Again, give us a call. 574-631-6400.
Okay. I'm going to move on from Hossa here. I'm going to stop with the first and Heatley.
Oh, I know. Wait, I don't actually think I know this one. I think I tried to dissuade myself.
It's not like Pascal Dupuis, I think. There's some other guy, but I'm not going to risk it. Next one is,
I don't want to know. I don't want to talk
wanna
about
do
it.
This one.
I don't really want to do
this
one.
I don't even know this guy. I'm not going to lie. I know it was
exactly.
I know who the guy is. It's Patrick Roy. I know he was traded for three players.
Exactly.
Was Jocelyn Thibault one of them?
It was.
Don't tell me. I'm just going to guess Thibault.
I don't think so.
You don't?
I don't know.
Oh, let's go.
It was?
Yeah, Thibault, and then there were two other players in that trade.
It was.
But I don't know who they are.
The cornerstone of that trade.
Well, because Thibault was the goalie they got back.
I'm just going to look it up just because I want to know.
That's all. I'm out after that player. He was only traded once, I believe. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, that was it.
I think he went
Yeah, that's right.
Who was it? Just tell me.
It was... Oh, he was traded... where'd it go here? Yeah, tell me the whole story. Okay, yeah, you want to hear the three? He was traded with Mike Keane... Along with the captain.
So the star goalie is going down. I guess that means we got to trade the captain too.
It was horrible. For Andre Kovalenko, Martin Husinski, and Jocelyn Thibault.
Lit.
Ouch.
That's a tough one.
And we still pay for it.
Well, another big name and another throwback name coming up here towards the end. We got Ray Bourque. Obviously, only traded once from Boston to Colorado. This is a tough one because he was only traded once. He was late in his career, so I don't know exactly how much he would have gone for at that point. Like, would he have still been worth a first? He was not a rental He did, well, at least he came back to, maybe it was a rental and they re-signed him, but he did spend a season and a half with the Avs. So it's not like they only got him for half a year, I think. I'm going to risk a first-round pick, and I'm right. 78%. Okay. I'm tapping out after that, I think. I have no idea. Maybe another draft pick. I have no idea on players. That's the thing with the players, too, in this one. Like, there's no, like, hints. It's just you got to know.
Another Bruin in the five spot, too.
Ooh, who is it?
Cam Neely.
Oh, I don't even know. Frig. This guy was involved in a big trade. I know that. Oh, no. It was a really good trade for Boston, too. I feel like I can picture the guy who was traded. Well, it's from Vancouver, but I don't think I know. I think I'm skipping this one.
I just looked it up.
It was like a huge player. I know that. I don't know. That's one of the more infamous trades in the NHL. But I'm not sure.
It's Barry Peterson.
Oh, I was not getting that.
All Cam right. Neely and Boston got Cam Neely and a first for Barry Peterson.
Okay, yeah. So I this is the first time I've done this before. I didn't get well, actually, it doesn't say. Oh yeah, they got Cam Neely and a first. Yeah, wow, that's crazy. Yeah. So this is the first time I haven't gotten anyone wrong, like any wrong answers. But I did not get all the right answers. Not even close. Here are all the players. So for Iginla, it was a first and a fourth. So I got that. Ed Nieuwendyk. I did not get Kenny Agostino or Ben Hanowski. I've at least heard of Kenny Agostino.
Yeah. I think he was with the Habs for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I do remember that. For Hossa, we got the first and Heatley. Somehow Jimmy got the fifth. No idea how. That's crazy.
Hey, well, he knows his own stuff.
You looked it up.
No, I didn't. I was confused how the game was working.
Oh, you
so
just randomly guessed?
I just started clicking things.
And you got
and
it.
And fifth round was like the second one I took. After first round.
The other players that he was traded for at some points were Colby Armstrong, Eric Christensen, Marcus Kruger, Mackenzie Entwistle, and Andrew Campbell. I think, did they get Entwistle back when they traded his contract to the Coyotes? I don't know. For Watt, we already went over it, Kovalenko, Rutschinski, and Thibault. For Raymond Bourque, a first round pick, as long as Martin Grenier, Samuel Paulson, and Brian Rolston.
Wow.
I did not realize they got Brian Rolston back. Great hot card in NHL 18.
Oh, yeah?
Got his 90 overall legend a couple days into the game. He was great. Deadly shot. And then Neely was
good
just
player.
The one-for-one for Barry Peterson. All right, let's actually make our way to actual NHL talk. So we've had two big trades already, plus a big re-signing, plus a coach firing. Why don't we start with the most recent news, which is the firing of New Jersey Devils head coach Lindy Ruff.
I'd like to present an official statement.
The defense calls Mr. Post to the stand.
It's time to go!
That is all from the resident Devils fan.
So Lindy Ruff, in his fourth season coaching the Devils, the first two did not go very well, which I think everyone expected with where the team was in their roster construction. They had just gone for that big roster rebuild in 2019 when they brought in Subban and Wayne Simmonds. They were hoping Corey Schneider would bounce back. That fell apart totally. John Hines was canned. They bring in Lindy Ruff to help bring along some of the young guys like Jack Hughes. First 2 years, the team is not very good. Last year, they explode. 112 points. They won the Metro, did they? No, Carolina won the Metro.
Yeah,
but they were
so.
Very close second. Second in the Metro, they win their first round series against the Rangers in seven. They lose in the second round to Carolina, but by all accounts, a great year. They got up to a kind of a hard start that year, and the fans, of course, infamously chanted, "Fire Lindy,"
right.
At which point the team went on a massive winning streak, and they chanted, "Sorry, Lindy."
which was one of the coolest stories of last year.
Absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And then this year, they've been a disappointment. You can put some of that on Lindy Ruff. Some of it you can't. Obviously, the goaltending, the coach does not have control over for the most part. The Devils' goaltending has been not good this season. They are one of the worst teams when it comes to goaltending. They've been in rumors at the acquire, but goaltender potentially. Jacob Markstrom seems like their main guy, although we don't really know what Calgary's willingness is to move him. And then the Devils obviously pulling the plug this weekend after two tough losses to the Ducks and the Kings on the road. What are the thoughts on Lindy Ruff and where the Devils currently sit?
I think it just shows you the shelf life of NHL coaches, right? Like, I mean, Lindy, I feel like when they hired Lindy, I didn't see him as a long-term replacement, and then I think they had the opportunity to hire the Florida coach, whose name I'm forgetting.
Andrew Brunette.
Yeah, who had that great year in Florida, and then they weirdly canned him. Good coach. Did they instate him as the interim?
He's in Nashville now.
Okay, he's in Nashville now. Yeah, so he got his gig. But they really kind of, I think, missed the boat on that, if you ask me. In terms of where the Devils are at, I think the whole thing with Markstrom's really interesting. You know, I was listening to a few things earlier today about how Markstrom was rather upset with the way the whole New Jersey, you know, how that got out, right? And how he was told that he could be traded, and like when you have a wife and kids, right? Like, you don't take that kind of thing lightly when you're told you're going to be traded and then you're not. Mm. And I think honestly, the reason that trade didn't go through had more to do with Calgary and the way they're playing right now, which is actually quite good.
Yeah,
they're rather hot.
But I mean, they're going to have to trade Noah Hanifin. It sounds like he's not resigning there.
It does seem that way. And I know we're getting away from New Jersey here to talk Calgary, but they are an interesting case, and it's a very similar story where, like, they finally look like they're at least kind of pulling things together, and they have players who don't want to stay, right? Which is disappointing.
Markstrom, by the way, full no move clause for the rest of his contract, which is this year plus two more at $6 million.
Right, and he's playing outstanding.
Oh
right
yeah,
now.
914 save percentage, fantastic.
In terms of whether that would fix the Devils' problems, another conversation I heard, I was listening to 32 Thoughts today, and they were talking about how, you know, the Ryan Miller deal a few years ago, like that didn't really, that was the last time we saw starting goaltender traded at the deadline.
Yeah, it rarely it happens really work and out. Even less rarely works or yeah. more rarely works.
Yeah, they were talking, giving two examples of the Ryan Miller deal and the Dwayne Rolison deal.
Yeah.
But the Miller deal didn't really work out. So in terms of where the Devils are at, I think it's been disappointing because they want to win now based on, you know, the money they've put in the offseason, you know. But they still are rather young. Their pieces are young.
They'll have Dougie Hamilton back next year.
Yeah. They'll have Dougie Hamilton back next year. I didn't really see this coming. I don't know the internal workings. I'm not too close to the Devils. I think those are my thoughts, is that, you know, maybe it was time for this. He guided them through a building period, and you know, maybe it's time to make a jump with a new coach.
Yeah. Well, obviously this time of year, usually talking about players who are leaving teams, but one who is staying for a long time is Elias Pettersson in Vancouver. 8-year extension for Pettersson, $11.6 million cap hit. That'll kick in next year. Mm-hmm. Buys out 7 years of UFA status. Pettersson, obviously one of the best centers in the NHL. Someone who has established himself as a 100-point player, someone who's going to be pushing that mark just about every single season. On a Canucks team that wasn't a bit of a tailspin, kind of some bad vibes around that potentially. There were rumors that they were looking to make a trade with Carolina potentially, and that the Hurricanes had offered a big package. But ultimately, I think it works out best for Vancouver that they get their guy locked up, and they do so at a pretty reasonable cap hit, if I do say so myself.
I agree. I mean, I think to a certain extent, it's a win-win for both sides. I mean, you can't say, the way Patterson's been playing this year, that he didn't help himself out, right? Weird timing of the deal, didn't you think? Like, I get it's close to the trade deadline, but you don't usually see extensions in the middle of the season like this.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Vancouver's just hypersensitive about wanting to get him locked up, given some of what they saw in Calgary a couple years ago.
I was going
to
say, that's...
Well, but granted, those. Well, I guess Matthew Tkachuk was an RFA, but I mean, I don't really think it really affected the Flames that much in terms of the return they got by waiting until the offseason. I mean, got to remember, Huberto and Weegar were viewed as stars at the time, and Weegar's still a very good player. Huberto has had his hardships there, certainly, but that return was viewed as
good as they were going to get.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Elias Pettersson sticking around the Canucks.
Yeah, that's a win for the Canucks. The way they've been playing this year, you don't want that to become a distraction, right?
Yeah.
Like, they want to focus on having a good performance in the playoffs, right? Which I don't... I think they believed they had...
Playoffs?
We're talking about playoffs! I think they believed they had that, right? But I don't know if they necessarily expected to be having the year that they're having and be talking about having good performance in the playoffs. And the fact that they won't have that kind of looming come the end of the season or during this, like, even this whole week, right? I think that's huge for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, a former Canuck on the move, though. The biggest trade we've seen so far, Chris Tanev going from the Flames to the Dallas Stars. Dallas giving up a second and a third, which is conditional on Dallas reaching the Stanley Cup final, as well as defenseman Artem Grishnikov, a second-round pick of the Stars from a couple years ago. New Jersey also involved in this trade. They retained half of Tanev's salary. So Calgary retained half of it, and then New Jersey retained another half, so it's down to 25% cap hit for Dallas, so they get him for just over $1 million. Devils get a fourth-round pick in this trade. They also lose prospect Cole Brady, who's someone who's just kind of in there for to make it work with the NHL, because you have to trade a player now, too, I believe, to be able to broker cap space and that type of trade. But Dallas, man, they look legit with where they sit right now. Mm. Adding Tanev to an already great defense that has guys like Miro Heiskanen, Esa Lindell. I feel like I'm forgetting another big name, too, as well. I know Nils Lundqvist has been good for them this season. I know a big point of contention a year ago is that they were overplaying Ryan Suter. Thomas Harley was the name I was forgetting about, who's a young guy on the rise for sure. I know a big point of contention last year in the playoffs is that Ryan Suter was overworked. Now that they get Chris Tanev, they can put Suter in more of a third-pair role, shelter him a little bit at 39 years old. And he's someone who should really fit in well with Dallas. He's a team that likes to be physical. And, you know, who was it in the Omni Fantasy who got him? Who didn't have their first-round pick because they weren't present at the start of the draft.
Ben.
Yeah, Ben. He might wind up looking smart, even though he didn't get them until... They count as his first-round pick.
I don't know. My Canucks.
So. Wait, who?
Ben got Dallas.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... I just think it's got to be hard to be a Calgary Flames fan, man. Like, again... Yeah. Pretty decent return for Tanev, right?
McGinnis is still on the clock.
Hey, McGinnis, you're on the clock,
buddy.
I'm
on the clock?
You've been on the clock for like...
Dude, we got to
stop the steal.
I'm so sorry.
Dude, I'm going to have to officially... This is now an official warning.
Okay.
When I do it, everyone complains in the group chat.
No, I am not. I have to make you accountable.
Flirting versus harassment.
That's a brilliant idea. Chicago Blackhawks.
No.
Good pick.
No,
unfortunately, I was not allowed to pick the Hartford Whalers goal song.
That would have been great. You know what? Put me down. I'm taking the Flyers.
Can you cue that up to take us out today?
Am I a producer?
Yes, we can.
Apologies for forgetting, but I'm taking the Flyers. Someone tell whoever's next that they're up.
We can do that back here.
Yeah. Thank you.
We have Chris Tanev to attend to out here.
Yeah.
And that really moves the needle on the trade market too, right?
For sure, it's a pretty underwhelming return, I feel like. A lot of people were hoping that he would get a first-round pick.
Yeah.
As the fan of a team who wants to sell defensemen, including a right-handed shot, top four guy, not what I was hoping for.
Okay, so you thought it was an underwhelming return.
I did. I don't think Grishnikov is that hyped of a prospect.
Well, yeah, that was interesting about it, is it was just prospects. And I don't know, man, like, and again, this is more high-level, not nitty-gritty stuff, because obviously it does depend on...
Yeah, I'm not an Artem Grishnikov expert by any means.
Yeah, it does depend on the prospects that come back, but I feel like commonly the NHL teams really, like NHL fans particularly, really salivate over the first round pick. So like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, if we got a first round pick, that's great, right?
It's not a terrible return, but...
Like, listen, like, I mean, Calgary's first round pick, where are they going to land? You know, they're going to land at 14, 15, 13, 12.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how deep the draft is... That's a decent pick. It's not a franchise-changing pick.
Yeah. Well, I know Fried said that a lot of teams, with how the draft is looking this year, they're devaluing 2024 first-round picks from contenders. That a lot of teams don't seem to like the back part of the first round of this year's draft.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, maybe me. I think we've had some stacked drafts in recent years. I wouldn't say that. I think last year's draft was really a good one. I thought that was a very deep draft. The fact that the Capitals got Ryan Leonard where they got Ryan Leonard, like... Mm. Pretty good. Yeah. 2 years ago, not so deep.
Yeah, no.
With Slavkovsky's class. I just don't see the first round pick as like being the...
That's fair.
The indicator of whether it's a good trade or not. But I do see what you mean, because, you know, if you're a Flyers fan, you want another first round pick, right?
Yeah. All right. I want to do, for the last like 5 minutes of the show, I want to do a back and forth rapid fire between Murph and I. So what I want to do is I'm going to pick a team from the NHL standings, and I'm going to ask you whether they're a buyer or seller, or if they stay pat. And then you're going to give me a team, and you're going to ask me if they're a buyer or seller or stay pat.
Okay.
And we're going to go back and forth.
Okay.
I will go first. Let's go with the New York Islanders.
Oh, I knew you were going to do that one. I knew, because that's a really challenging one.
Well, yeah, that's the point.
You know what I'm
saying.
Hey,
Murph,
say.
Is Boston going to buy or sell?
Stay pat.
I mean, maybe.
Do I have to justify my answers?
A little bit, just like a quick.
Stay pat. That's the Islanders' way.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know they don't like rentals too much.
Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, I think we know. They're selling. They've said they want.
Really?
They said they want two prospects for Gensel rather than a first and a prospect.
Future Red Wing.
I think they're out after this weekend. They had a brutal weekend. Blew a 3-1 lead in the third period in Calgary to lose in regulation, and then got smoked by the Oilers. I think they're out.
I would agree with that.
Let's go with the Minnesota Wild.
Oh, that's so hard. Okay.
What's the point?
Again,
we know they're.
I feel like I'm giving cop outs by saying stay pat, but like for them, they're in cap hell.
Yeah.
The only way you get out of cap hell is through cap hell, right?
Yep.
Stay pat. Seattle.
That's a good one. I actually think I think there's a chance they buy because apparently they want to extend Jordan Eberle. Elliot Freeman reported that. I think Seattle could buy potentially. See if there's maybe like a third line scoring forward that they might be interested in.
And people love their defense.
Yeah,
like
people
they
do.
Love their defense.
Maybe
and
maybe
want to
maybe
buy
a backup
defense.
Goalie too as well to supplement Joey DeCourt. Although I don't know how you do that with Philip Grubauer still there. That might be more of an offseason thing if they try to unload Grubauer. Let's go with the St. Louis Blues.
Sell.
Do you think they're going to move on from Pavel Buchnevich? Yeah, that's someone that's been out there a little bit. But I think I saw they won two first for him.
I just don't see them having a core that's strong enough, right? Like they should be buying around, yeah. Right? Like Robert Thomas, is Robert Thomas still having a good year? I don't know.
He probably is.
He's the name that comes to mind, right?
Yeah.
But like aside from him and Buchnevich,
Jordan Kyrou. But I agree, their defense is a mess.
Yeah, I mean, it looks bad because you went in on Torrey Krug.
And Parayko. And Justin Falk's not that
and
bad.
It's like, yeah.
And Krug isn't terrible either. Parayko's not garbage, but he's not worth his contract.
But, I mean,
they do have some UFAs. Kasperi Kapanen, Sammy Blay, Oscar Sundquist, Marco Scandella. There's some guys they could sell there and get, like, some mid-round picks for.
Yeah, I would see them as sellers.
Gotcha.
Philadelphia Flyers. Tug at the heartstrings.
Oh, man, it's so hard right now with how close they are. I think they're only going to sell Sean Walker. I don't think they trade Nick Seeler.
Okay.
I don't think they trade Scott Laughton. I think Laughton for sure is not getting moved. Okay. I think they're going to probably re-sign Nick Seeler.
Okay.
But I think Walker's out. I think they're going to get a second and a third.
They're gonna walk the line between. You're not gonna sell.
But was that? Did you get the pun? Is that intentional? Walk the line.
It was not intentional, but it works.
How about the Tampa Bay Lightning? 1 point ahead of the Flyers.
Bye, baby, bye.
Bye.
Absolutely. Players want to go play in Tampa. You know, like they're talking about Hanifin, right?
Yep.
Hanifin's a guy like that. Reportedly, the team that he wants to go play for is Tampa. Right, if he can sign a long term extension there, bye. You're the Lightning.
Bye.
You're not through.
With their negative. Well, actually, they do have 7.3 million cap space. What do you any general ideas on what you think they might buy? Well, first of all, look at some of the names on their blue line: Emil Martinson-Lilleberg, Maxwell Crozier, Darren Radish. At least I know Darren Radish from last year's playoffs. But is this like a EA Sports simulation?
I'm gonna say a defenseman.
yeah. Well, I mean, their forwards too. Mitchell Chaffee.
See, the forwards like
Austin Watson.
They've always found guys, particularly if it's from their own system, like Ross Colton, right? Like they pull him
up. Connor Sheary is their sixth highest paid forward.
Yeah, but they find
NTC.
They find guys, man.
They do. Well, that's also not counting Tanner Jeannot, who's on IR right now. They're also without Mikhail Sergachev right now. He's an LTIR. I don't know what his status is. I think he's going to be back for the playoffs, but I'm not certain.
What do you do if you're the Anaheim Ducks? That's my last.
Adam Henrique's got to go, for
I know,
sure.
I know you're selling some guys, but like, yeah.
I don't think Zeros is going at the deadline with him being hurt.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance Frank for Toronto moves.
That
would be a really good guy. Maybe the Rangers reunite with him. I know Friedman speculated on that.
Yeah.
He was really good with them when they got him in 2022 at the deadline. Their defense is kind of set. Yeah. If I were them, I'd low-key think about... honestly, I feel like they kind of just need like a change up of like their like cream. I would think about training Camp Fowler.
Interesting.
I don't think they're going to move Gibson, although they should.
I'd say Gibson's another guy. Dostal's
ready. Give him the reins, man.
Yeah.
I'll do one more team myself for you, Murph. I'm going to ask about this team because I'm selfish, and I want to know about them because they actually looked really good when they played the Flyers on Friday. What about the Washington Capitals?
I have not been impressed with their roster this year.
See, I have not either.
I don't see them as sellers. I know they're playing well, but like, why would you buy?
Well, yeah, we also forgot as well of getting Kuznetsov on waivers into the AHL.
Why would you buy if you're them? I just don't see. If you make an investment in this year's team, you're just essentially doing a Penguins where you're like, all right, we still have Ovechkin. We can still have a chance. Like,
they're also very banged up right now. Oshie, Ferravari, and Dowd are all
1 minute remaining in the show.
You're not making an thank you. You're not making an investment in your future.
Anthony Mantha's a UFA. You think they keep him? You think they let him walk? They could get something for him.
I would
34 points in 56 games this year. He's having his best season since 2019-20.
Yeah, and he's not a guy. Well, how old is Mantha?
He's in his like mid-20s, 27, I think.
Yeah, I would.
29, actually, even older. Yeah, they should sell him.
I would
Oh, this is like a remix
what
of
version
Raspamanza.
Is this?
We want the trumpets.
It was copyrighted.
Well, yeah, but we don't care about that.
Oh, come on. Are they going to copyright strike five for fighting Irish?
Well, you can keep playing it.
FCC.
It's better than nothing.
Take us down, FCC.
Hold on. Yeah. I'm going to get it.
Yeah, Take us down, FCC. Yeah.
I dare the FCC to come diminish five for fighting Irish.
Sell them.
Sell them. I think they should. I don't know if they will, potentially.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, this show has been a brass bonanza, some would say.
It really has.
Always.
We will probably be not back next week because we are going on spring break. Where's everyone going? Where are you going, Murph?
I'm going home. Conquer New Hampshire, baby.
Giants.
Kissimmee, Florida.
Jimmy?
Charlotte.
JJ?
The Sun Belt Tournament, baby!
And I will be in Florida.
I'm the only one going
enjoying
north?
Enjoying the sun. I can't imagine why.
I wanted to go north. My compatriots
rejected me. Playoff hockey, man!
I wanted to go skiing, but no one else has the courage that I do.
Well, we thank you for joining us. We'll probably be back here in 2 weeks talking about the deadline, talking about where things stand with the NHL. Probably talking about Notre Dame hockey's demise as well. But you never know. That's the fun in it. For Ryan Murphy, for Tyler Reedy, even though he had to leave early, Jake Irons, Jimmy Collins, and JJ Post.
And the Brock
I'm Andrew McGinnis. Let's have a bonanza.